robots is closer than you think. A company in Cornwall is now producing robots for use in museums and in some circumstances as actors. The company calls them robo-thespians, and on the line from Engineered Arts is researcher Nick Carey. Afternoon, Nick.
Hello.
Could you start by describing to us what robo-thespian looks like?
Okay, well, have you seen the movie I, Robot?
Yeah.
Okay, very, very similar to that. We've got like a white chassis made out of sort of perspex, which you've got lights coming through. It's very sleek, very modern, very 21st century looking. Kind of the iPhone version of a robot.
Right. And is it kind of the size of a person? Does it have legs,
yeah,
or is it on wheels?
It does. It's a complete humanoid. So it's a bit taller than me. It's about, I think, 180 centimetres high.
And
about 6 foot.
Wow, and can it walk?
No, we're in development. We're working on a walking robot, but our current models, they have articulated legs, so they can bob up and down and squat and that kind of thing, but they don't walk at the moment.
Okay, can their arms move?
Yes, definitely.
So they would be, I assume, programmed to kind of gesture as they're talking, that kind of thing.
That's exactly right. The idea behind the development of the robot is to have something that communicates in a very human-like way. So we do our best to make the humans to make the robots move like humans. So they're articulated, their arms can move around like a human arm, and they make gestures like people, and they move their head and look at you and that kind of thing.
And the face, can the face have different expressions on it?
Right, so we have two kinds of heads, actually. We have our standard head, which is kind of plastic molded and quite fixed with a mechanical jaw, but what it does have is very expressive eyes.
Mm.
We use the screen from like an LCD phone screen to project very high resolution eyes, and so you can get an amazing amount of expression just by using the eyes, we find. We also have another kind of head, which is an internally projective head, which basically, it's again the same kind of perspex as his body, so you can see light through it, and we project a face from the inside of the head onto the face of the robot, and that can take any shape you like. It can even be your own face.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
No, it's creepy.
I suppose, and the reason why I'm asking is because I suppose in developing the robot, apart from the software and what it can do, you had to kind of take into account that people were comfortable in its presence and it didn't come
as
creepy.
That's right. That's a very important aspect for us, is not diving into that uncanny valley. It's possible to make things too human-like. Where people get uncomfortable being around them because they're just on that edge of being almost human but not quite. We try to stay on the mechanical side of this. So while they do move like humans and it's very easy to interpret their gestures as human gestures, you can see, for example, all the linkages in the arms. We don't try and cover it up with rubber skin or anything. It's very clearly a machine.
And how interactive is it in the sense of can you ask it questions within a limited range?
Yes, yeah, so we have several sort of human interactive modules on it. For one thing, it has a lot of visual sensors, so it can pick up people. It can detect up to about 15 people in a crowd. It can see your facial expression. It can decide how old you are, what gender you are, what facial expression you're wearing. And we do also have speech recognition enabled, so you can talk to it, not over a huge amount of stuff, but definitely in a few areas it's quite good.
And how do you refer to them? Do you refer to them as he, she, it? Do you give it a name?
Tends to gender male. I think it's because like the way the face is structured, it's got quite a prominent nose, and we do tend to sort of default to he. We can make sort of different head shapes, and we can easily make a more feminine one. So, yeah, but we find we tend to call them he, or Reggie is the common name for whatever robot we've got working on at the moment, so it's Reggie.
And the intention was that Reggie, the initial intention was you would have a fleet of Reggies who would be tour guides.
In a way. The initial project development was just something, so the company background is in science communication and building installations for science centres, and the initial idea with the robot development was to have a new and interesting way of guiding people through some scientific information or telling them about something that might otherwise be a bit dull, to have it done by a robot. And this has sort of been developed more and more over the years, and now he's an entertainer, he's an actor, he's a research platform, he's all sorts of things. What we'd like to do one day is when we get this walking robot is you could then have a walking tour guide around the museum or something that is also a robot and also an exhibition in himself.
And the robo-thespians who are acting, what kind of shows are they acting in?
Well, mostly small ones at planetariums and other science centres where I think, is it Gaziantep? I think has a couple of robots, and there's one in Poland who do Copernicus, and they do stage shows where the robots play various actors or various characters. That's kind of an educational entertainment. The ones in Korea do this amazing sort of, I think it's adapted from an anime or something. I'm not even really clear. I've only ever seen it in Korean, but it seems to be this spectacular stage show where they play like an evil king and a princess and this kind of stuff all dressed up. It's quite weird.
And presumably you can kind of program them to act and to emote.
That
kind of...
Yes, definitely. So we have very capable text-to-speech output, so you can write your own scripts quite easily. We can also do pre-recorded content if you wanted an even bigger dynamic range, if you wanted a famous actor on there or something. And as I said before, when we use the projective heads, or even just modifying the mechanical head design, you can make the robot look like almost anything you want in a way.
At the moment, how long is it taking you to produce one? How many a year would you make?
I think usually we make between 6 and 10 a year. It doesn't take very long. It's done in stages. So at the moment, looking around the workshop, I can see one full, complete Reggie. We've got three who are in the process of being built, so they have their chassis on. And then I've got about 10 pairs of legs behind us. So we've got various stages of robots being continually developed. So, I mean, from absolute scratch, it would take quite a while, but because we have all these stages, I think between getting an order and fulfilling it, about 3 or 4 weeks usually, depending on content and any modifications.
And would you kind of custom make software for the robot depending on what it is people want it to do?
Yeah, we do offer a degree of customization, both in the mechanical design, and also we will, for customers who aren't comfortable programming their own robot, we will put on content for you or make it do certain routines or have certain interactive modules that might otherwise not have come with it.
Is Reggie kind of like a mobile phone? Do you have to charge him up, and could he just suddenly lapse into silence halfway through?
He needs to be plugged into a mains power supply. He doesn't have a battery on board. What he does have to move his muscles, we power his muscles by air, they're pneumatic. And so he either needs to be plugged into some kind of mains air supply, or you can have an air generator.
Right, okay. So
a small portable air compressor.
Does he need that all the time?
He does if you want him to move. If you just want him to talk, then he's fine with just electricity. But if you want him to move around properly, then yeah, he needs the air compressor.
All right, so I suppose in the next generation, when you have walking Reggies, they'll need to have their own power supply.
Yeah, that's right. So autonomy is actually a sort of big step. It's like, how do you get all the energy on board? How do you make it not have to be constantly plugged in and tethered? That's something that we have to put a lot of thought into.
And as I understand it, they're $55,000 each, which is surprisingly cheap for a robot.
I think it's probably the cheapest robot with these kind of capabilities that you could possibly buy.
So, but presumably as time goes on, the cost will go down and they'll be walking and doing cartwheels, and then sooner or later everybody will have one.
Yeah, I mean, as we get better technologies and as we get more used to building things, then obviously I think the walking robot will be considerably more expensive to start with, but should come down in the future once we've developed a few.
Do you get fond of them?
Yes, I think they've all got they don't have a very distinct personality. They've all got rather the same personality, but it's a friendly one and it's a very engaging one. And, it's hard not to say goodbye to them when you leave in the evening, that kind of thing.
Now, Nick, do you have a Reggie with you at the moment?
I do. Standing next to him.
All right, so could I have a chat? Do I say hello, Reggie, or how do I address Reggie?
You could say hello.
Okay, I'll do that, if you stick Reggie on there. Okay.
Hello.
Hello, Reggie.
Excuse me.
This Reggie is going to go to Questacon in Australia, so he's been programmed with an Australian accent.
Okay, right, okay. Reggie, tell me about Questacon.
G'day, Questacon. I'm warming up my new powered legs for you while my developers work on upgrading my software. My legs can now operate without an external support, and I can crouch in a range of positions.
That's some of the Questacon content on there.
I can't wait to meet you all.
Sorry, I interrupted.
Right, that's okay. That's a good Australian accent. Do you have to get an actual Australian, or do you have a kind of some sort of device that you can just tune to Australian?
That was all done using text-to-speech software.
Wow.
We get that from a company called Acapella in Belgium, who just have this amazing array of not only accents, but they can also change the pitch, they can modulate how fast you talk, and they can have, evil people. They have amazing way of American accents. They're an excellent company. We're really happy to work with them.
My word. Nick Carey, humanoid robot researcher for Robothespian. Thanks a million for talking to us today.
No problem.
Coming up next, would you let your armpit hair grow?